Wednesday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a fantastic start. Good morning, LZ. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning, Travis. I'm in a fantastic place. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because my Dodgers are back on track, baby. My Dodgers are back on track.
When they fell behind 2-0, I was a little worried about you, but I stayed back. I laid back waiting for a little bit in the later innings. I had faith. Which I usually don't, but last night I had faith.
Well, I had faith too, because typically, you know, it only takes an inning. You could be up by three, one inning, we could be up by three. So I wasn't as worried until let's see, when did I really start to get worried? I'm trying to think.
When Cronenworth hit that home run, I'm like, okay. now would be a good time to score some runs. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm trying to. There was definitely a point in which I was like, "Oh, blank," because to lose two in a row to the Giants to begin the season would be a disappointment, and it was a disappointment. And as you know, I haven't let that go.
Clearly,
but to lose two in a row against the Padres, that was registering differently for me. Because the Padres are a good team. We were tied with them. And when someone who's a good team that beats you twice, a la Lakers versus Clippers, you start looking at them differently like, you might actually be a thing. And so splitting the first two games, I'm feeling better about that. Now we just need to take control of this little short little series.
Yeah, I want to get into the Dodgers and a bunch of the things that they did yesterday, namely Corey Seager and Pollock and Kenley Jansen. I thought they all had big, big nights last night. Dustin May is going to be a problem for the rest of baseball for a very long time if that doesn't stay healthy. We'll get into all of that. Very quickly, though, the Padres are going to be a problem before too long.
They're
good. They're not, and here's why. Their bullpen sucks. Mm-hmm. Their bullpen really deeply and truly sucks. So it's really hard in the format that we're using right now. Like a bad bullpen over 162 games is going to kill you for sure. A bad bullpen when none of your starters have been really stretched out the way that you'd expect them to go, and you're going to be in that bullpen every single night over and over again, is going to shoot you in the foot really, really quickly. The Padres can score. The Padres are a really interesting offensive team because they have some pop. I'm sure you guys heard it last night watching the game. They've got 18 steals in 12 games. The next closest team in baseball has 10. So they're kind of doing it old school. They're stealing bases. They've got some pop. They've got some really decent star power and guys like Tatis and Machado and Tommy Pham. And I mean, they're a good team that's only going to get better. They can figure out some bullpen stuff. They're going to be a problem for the Dodgers before too long.
Well, if a team with a shiny bullpen is only giving up 6 hits in a game they lost, then they're a problem now, as far as I'm concerned. And I hear what you're saying. The bullpen is not very good. I would expect the offensive numbers for this particular team to have been significantly better. But we sweated for 5 innings. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got to the bullpen, we ended the game with 6 hits. That, to me, is not a dominant offensive performance, especially one against a team that, as you say, has a bad, bad bullpen. I think they're a problem now.
And yeah.
We're just going to be dealing with them for the duration. We're not going to have a 5-game lead to win this division. I think it's going to be lower than that.
No, there's just not enough time to extend a lead like that. Unless something really weird happens, you're going to have if you have a 3 or 4-game lead, that's going to feel like what's the rule that keeps the rule of 2.7, that everything you have is multiplied by 2.7. So if you've got a 5-game lead, it really would be more like a 12-game lead. It's just it's a very, very different time. The Dodgers last night couldn't get anything going against the San Diego starter, Lamet, last night. He had a no-hitter into the 6th inning. And Dustin May was dealing. Dustin May was – part of it is just the graphics of modern baseball right now, right? You can see the ball moving. They put that little tail on it temporarily. Yep. This is a guy that's throwing 99 miles an hour down in the zone, and the ball's moving laterally, 6-8 inches at a time. You can't hit that. I don't care if you're Mike Trout or Mookie Betts or any of the other best players in baseball. You can't hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball that's going sideways 6 or 8 inches. You can't do it, And that dude was just throwing pitch after pitch after pitch like that. And this is a guy that you just drop in the rotation because, hey, we need a guy because we're a little thin at the beginning of the season. You can make an argument. He's got the best stuff on the team right now.
I mean, certainly given the fact that Walker Buehler is still trying to find his form and we haven't seen a lot of Clayton Kershaw, it's hard to argue against that. This is a 22-year-old kid who at the beginning of the season, to your point, was being told he's going to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kershaw does too many, like, I don't know, sit-ups or something. Hurts his back, you know. And the next thing you know, Dustin May is like going, well, I might as well win a Cy Young since I'm here. I mean, he's been that good. He's been that dominant. And he's been that reassuring. Because to be quite honest with you, once David Price said he wasn't coming into the bubble, I was a little concerned about whether or not our kids will be able to shore that up. Because part of the reason why David Price's acquisition was so appealing, and Travis, you and I talked about this, wasn't necessarily just about his stuff, though I think his stuff is still fine. It was his leadership. His leadership in that space, in big moments. You know, what is he saying to the young guys? What is he saying to all the guys? Because he's been through all of it. And we weren't going to have that voice. And I was curious as to how that was going to impact what we did. Well, we may not have the voice. We just picked up a hell of an arm.
Yeah.
So Justin May is out there. He's dealing, man.
Go back a couple of seasons, LZ. Go back to when, you know, when I first came onto the show, I when we were having the conversation about Kershaw or Buehler. You got one game. Who do you want, Kershaw or Buehler? And I kept saying over and over again, give me Buehler, not because he's a better player than Clayton Kershaw at this point in his life, because Clayton Kershaw has this resume that stacks up to absolutely anybody. It's just that when you have stuff like that, if you're on, game's over. It's over. Yeah. There is no, hey, he's kind of green. Hey, he's not going to figure it out. Hey, we might have a chance to get to him. Not if he's throwing 100 and it's sliding 8 inches, it's not. I don't care how green he is. Now, there is something to be said for Dustin May is just getting started. Like I said, he's a 22-year-old guy. You're watching a guy like that go up against a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. Those guys are going to be facing each other for the next 10 years. That's just going to be the way that it is in that division because those guys are both stars. Once this guy's experience level can at least kind of come within 100 miles of his stuff, forget it. Look at the difference between Walker Buehler right now. I remember when Walker Buehler came up a few years ago. He was pitching a game against the Giants. It was a late season game. It really didn't matter much. Dodgers had a big lead in the division. But all of a sudden, you got this guy out there who weighs about 64 pounds, throwing the ball 150 miles an hour. And you're like, wait, who the hell is this? What is going on with this guy? And then like that, all of a sudden, he turns into not only a guy that's in the rotation, but a guy that's arguably their ace. Well, here it is all over again, only the old ace, in this case, Walker Buehler, isn't old at all. He's still at the beginning of his career. You got Tony Gonsolin, that's a guy that's come in and pitched occasionally. We've seen Mitchell White come in and pitch in spring training games and look great. We've seen Josiah Gray, another young guy, come in and look great. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, you've got Julio Urias, who hasn't really pitched at all for the Dodgers in any starting capacity until this year. And he looks really good, too. So the future for the Dodgers on the mound is absolutely loaded up. They're just one electric arm after the next. It's crazy.
It is so crazy. Dustin May is 22. We've been talking about Urias forever and a day. He's only 23.
Urias.
Exactly. Urias.
Urias.
Yeah.
I'll have it down for the afternoon show. I just need a little more time.
Urias.
I need a little bit more time.
No, he was the guy. He was the guy, right? When he was a 19-year-old kid coming up, like, oh, he's the next lights-out left-hander that the Dodgers have. Didn't happen quite like that. A little inconsistent, little injuries, little other stuff that kind of delayed some of his development along the way. But he's almost like the old hand around there that's not named Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, which is so remarkable given how talented this squad is and the number of high performers we have, Kenley Jansen, Kershaw, you know, A.J. Pollock. The reality is that we're also really young. Mm-hmm. And we're leaning on really young players to come through in big ways, and they're doing that for us. Bellinger's is a kid. He just keeps winning awards every year that he's in the league, and that makes you think he's 30, but he's not. I mean, we could probably be in contention for a division just based on the people under 26 on our roster.
Yeah,
that's how good and young they are.
This sounds ridiculous, and it might be, but I'm also going to say this and mean it. They could be looking at a run like the Braves had. They could be looking at a run like the Yankees had, where you're just on top of that division for the foreseeable future. Because like all the guys that you just mentioned, Corey Seager's 26. Okay, Corey Seager feels like he played with Bill Russell and Ron Say. Okay, it feels like he's 26 years old and arguably their best player right now. He's not the best player on the team, but right now, that guy's not missing the ball. He got that hit last night to tie the game. It was a big, big hit because they were really kind of scuffling. They weren't getting anything going against Lamet. He gets that hit. It ties the game. Everybody kind of relaxes. And then Pollock gets the big hit later in the game to kind of open it up and give them that lead. The Dodgers are winning games right now, and Mookie Betts has been hurt and got off to a slow start. I'm not worried about him at all. Cody Bellinger looks better the last two or three games, but he's nowhere. Max Muncy's batting under 200. We haven't talked about Justin Turner. It's the first time we've said his name all morning, and they've won 8 of their first 12 games. This is bad news if you're rest of the teams in the National League, because Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball, not named Mike Trout. He's been pretty quiet. Cody Bellinger is the reigning MVP. He's been pretty quiet. Justin Turner is arguably the toughest out in that lineup. He's been pretty quiet. Max Muncy, the guy that's hit 70 home runs for them over the last two seasons, is batting under 200, and they're winning 3 out of every 4 games. Good luck.
Not bad at all. Even our utility guys, the Jacques Peterson and Kiki Hernandez, they were 0 for 6 yesterday. Barnes was 0 for 4. You know, Rios, who was the hero, 0 for 1. It's absolutely amazing how you could have those names be offers and you found a way to win get five runs and win a game.
Like
Against a good team. It is quite remarkable. I'm not going to say it's an embarrassment of riches because I'm not embarrassed at all. I'm proud of these riches. We've earned these riches.
And they found these. Max Muncy was available to anybody that wanted.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Turner was a guy that anybody could have had. The Mets kind of said, we're good. We don't really want to do it. They've had the high picks that they've used on guys like Walker Buehler and May and Seager. They've hit on all of these guys. They are about as well-run of a baseball team as you could hope for right now. They're deep on the mound. They're deep in the bullpen. And they've got all sorts of offensive options everywhere, including my guy Corey Seager, who got it going last night. We know this, LZ. LeBron hears everything. More proof coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. You know, sometimes, LZ, guys will say, I don't listen to that stuff. I don't pay attention to that stuff. That's for you guys to decide. That's for you guys to talk about. We just go out there and play the games. You've heard all that before.
Yeah,
that's not LeBron. that's not LeBron. LeBron hears all, knows all, hears all, and sees all. After they got that number one seed, he said, they said I couldn't do it. He's right. There were people that we talked about it yesterday that, wait till he gets to the Western Conference. And they said, now that he's in the West, you see what happened. Stop. The man got hurt. The team had a bunch of kids that either were totally inexperienced or B, not nearly as good as anybody thought they were. Here he is on a real team the next year with a real running mate, and they're right back where we thought they were. And you know that he used that and he used any other slight, real or imagined, that he's ever heard to get ready for what's coming next, which is to try to go win that fourth championship for him.
Yeah, listen, he has proven very early in his career that he understands how the media works. He understands how to leverage his influence and power to get the kind of coverage that he wants. And fortunately for us, he uses this, for the most part, for good. There are certain people who have this understanding of the media and they manipulate it and use it how they want and leverage how they want for bad. He does it for good, but he hears everything. And he hears what's going on politically, he hears what's going on culturally, and he hears what's going on in terms of athletics and sports and how people talk about him and what they chirp about and who's doing the chirping. And, you know, you and I talked about this yesterday, Travis. Securing the number one seed does nothing for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. We are championship driven. We only count, championship banners. You don't get a statue for getting the number one seed. I don't care how many times you do it if you don't have any rings to back it up with. We've talked about this. But for LeBron James, securing the number one seed squashes a little bit more of the little doubters who are saying things like, yeah, he did all that in the East. Yeah, he did all that, and it was easy for him because there was no one there to stop him. Now, you really can't say that.
Nope.
You can't. You can't say that at all. At all. You can't even suggest, you can't even suggest that it was Anthony Davis that did it, because LeBron is the one that's going to finish either first or second in the MVP voting.
Right. And if anybody's being honest with themselves, if you've watched the NBA this season, if you've watched the NBA since it's gone, LeBron's the best player in the world. There are other great players. Giannis is a great player. And I'm not saying he's not an MVP caliber player. Kevin Durant's a great player. LeBron's still the best player in the world. And if you're not seeing that, I can't help you with it. He absolutely is still the best guy going. That being said, that what he's good at, and I think this is important for really everybody, whether you're an athlete or just a guy in a job or whatever you might be doing, you need to have something that you're shooting for, right? LeBron James is about as accomplished as anybody that's ever picked up a basketball. Multiple-time MVPs, a multiple-time champion, on the short list of greatest player ever, wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, all of these things. He's got an audience with whoever he wants to have an audience with, really at a moment's notice. He's that powerful of a guy. So when it comes to just, oh, I want this or that, it's pretty much over, right? He's done everything there is to do, but Jordan was great at this too. These guys find things to try to do that they really don't even have to do. You know what I mean? Like, the idea of winning a number one seed or being the number one seed in the West is really kind of insignificant. Who cares if he's the number one seed or he's two or four or whatever? He's still LeBron James, and they're still going to be the team to beat going into the playoffs. But not only can he tell himself, oh, I want to shut everybody up that said I couldn't win a number one seed in the West, it actually motivates him. We all need something to get up and go. It can't just be, when you're in LeBron James, he doesn't have to worry about food. He doesn't have to worry about being able to go to see the doctor or anything like that. All the basics that we all need to require on any given day. He needs to find something else to get him to go and work out the way that he does, take care of his body the way he does, lead the way that he does, speak up the way that he does. And so if it's something silly like nobody thought I could win a number one seed in the West, he uses it. He's such a smart athlete in that way that even if it's something relatively insignificant, it's meaningful to him.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a personal goal. And regardless of industries or field, as you're saying, Travis, when you're able to keep yourself focused and motivated by creating these personal little private goals, everyone around you is trying to buzz around and figure out how are you staying motivated, how are you staying on top. They don't see what's going on behind closed doors that keeps you going. We like those athletes. We don't like the athletes who show you what motivates them, and then once they get it, gets upset when you ask them about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm talking about Kevin. Yeah, I'm talking about Kevin Durant when I say that. Those guys don't know the secret and the power of private goals and private successes and private benchmarks. Jordan obviously had his. LeBron has his. But I would argue in every industry, those individuals, those women and men on top, they have those private little benchmarks that they work towards. And we're just fortunate that we're in the midst of a great, great player, an all-time great, if not the greatest, going through these sort of steps to keep himself focused and motivated. Because after 17 years of anything, whether it's basketball, marriage, being in a band, whatever the hell it is, 17 years is a long damn time. And you got to find a way to keep it hot.
Keep it hot when it's already been blazing for 2 decades. You know what I mean? I mean, right. to have that motivation after, because look, I get it. You're coming into the league, you're hungry, you don't have anything. There are people saying that, oh, look, this 18-year-old guy is calling himself the king. Get the blank out of here. You everybody kidding me? Who is this? I remember that when Tiger Woods first showed up on the scene, I think it was another golfer by the name of Sandy Lyle, when somebody asked him, what do you think of Tiger Woods? And his response was, oh, I've never played it. Trying to, kind of dismissing him like, oh, that's the name of a golf course? Yeah, I don't know it.
Right.
And so I get the idea when you show up the first time saying, I'm going to show these old guys. They've never seen anything like me. I get that. And then you win your first tournament. Okay, I've won a tournament. Okay, I've won a major. Yep. Okay, I've won a Grand Slam. Okay, I've won a Grand Slam twice. And this is the same for LeBron, that when you've started checking off all these things, so there's no more argument. Are you the best player in the league? Well, yeah, duh. Are you one of the great? Yeah, of course he is. What gets you going now? And I guarantee you, LeBron James has something right now that is motivating him in that bubble, that is motivating him to go win that fourth ring, that is motivating him to make sure that whatever dumb thing somebody has said about him at some point along the way, when it's all done and we're doing the Zoom parade on our laptops, he's going to let us know what it was. Maybe it's just they said I couldn't do it in L.A. They said I was done. They said this is a retirement job. Whatever those things are that have been said about him since he came out here to the Lakers, he'll let us know when it's over. He'll let us know when he's got it done, when the confetti's fallen, when they're taking that parade. He's got something in his back pocket that is absolutely burning a hole in him to get up and compete every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what you have, Travis, but I got about three or four little markers that keeps me going. And, you know, some of these markers are not even necessarily in my control. But nonetheless, I want to put pressure on the people who do have the trigger to let them know that I have to be reckoned with. And those are just the things you do when you reach a certain point in your life when you've been doing the same thing or been working in the same industry for so long. And again, you see people do this over and over again in all sorts of things. The midlife crisis, if you will. Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden they look up and they realize they've been on a hamster wheel of life and they need to break out of it and do something. That's what this is about. LeBron James' midlife crisis or mid-career crisis or latter career crisis, however you want to characterize it, may very well have been, you know what, I want to leave the league in assists. And I'm going to keep it to myself and I'm just going to pluck on it and work on it and work on it. And then when I get it, I'm going to check it and then I'm going to look for something else.
I've been saying this for years. I think part of LeBron's too is you can't catch 6-0, right? Michael put up a number that he can't catch. He's the O was already sailed. So right. What else? Exactly. What else can I do? Michael Jordan won 6 titles, but he won them all in one place. Okay, I've got titles in 2 places. Has anybody ever gotten titles in 3 places? The best player? No. They said I couldn't do it in the West. Okay. Let's go over here. I think he's chasing not just things in the moment. I think he's chasing ghosts and history and gods of the game and the record book. It's not just, oh, okay, I want to do this. It's what has Kareem done? Most points ever? Okay, I'm going to get that. Who has anybody ever been on top of the assists and at the top of the score? No? Okay, I'm going to do that. Hey, what Jordan's got 6? Okay, what if I got 5 or 4, but I did it with a bunch of different teams as the best player? Okay, I'm going to do that. I think that's a big part of how he goes about his stuff.
I would say he's definitely aware of where that fits. And as you said, he's going to drop little hints as time goes on about how he's been staying motivated. You know, he does do that from time to time. So I wouldn't be surprised in season 10 of The Shop if he's sitting there and he's retired and Bronny's playing for, like, I don't know, the Clippers or something. I don't know, maybe he goes to the Lakers, who knows. And he sits there and he just drops just real quick. You know, they didn't think I could average 10 points a game when I was 40. when I gave him 15 a game, I just sat back and watched him in awe, but I knew I could do it. You know, just little things like see him giving us hints 10, 15 years from now about things that motivated him this year.
Of course, yeah, he's a different dude. Now, here's the problem, LC. The Portland Trailblazers. That's the problem. They did it again last night.
That's
we'll get
problem.
Into it next and what that means for the Lakers. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, LZ, we are kind of continuing our conversation there off of air. And you have to start making stuff up to motivate yourself when you're at that level because LeBron doesn't need money. LeBron doesn't need fame. LeBron doesn't need anything that someone else can give him. You know what I mean? You just need to find the things that motivate you. And obviously winning the top seed in the Western Conference was one of those things that was motivating him. They said I couldn't do it. And well, here you go. There's the number one seed in the Western Conference. And it's a healthy motivation to be sure. Here's the rub. That number one seed potentially is going to get them a number 8 seed, which in normal times doesn't really matter at all because you're going to go paint the number 8 seed. That's the way that it goes. Maybe not this year. Not if Portland is that 8 seed. They beat the Rockets last night. We already know how difficult the Rockets can be to play against. Portland is going to maybe sneak into that eighth seed, and this is anything but an eighth seed. This is a team that's good enough to probably have been somewhere 2, 3, 4 if these guys had remained healthy through the league. So while it certainly was a goal to get that number one seed, your reward is a team that might give you an absolute grind from the very first playoff game of the very first round.
Yeah. You know, when Charles Barkley first said that if Portland got in, they could beat the Lakers. Or no, he said they will beat the Lakers.
Right.
A lot of people laughed. A lot of people laughed and thought he was just throwing stuff against the wall. I didn't laugh because I know what Portland looked like last year. And I know the reason why Portland was outside of the NBA bubble or outside of the NBA playoffs when the bubble started. It wasn't because they weren't a great team. It was because they were hurt. Well, now they're healthy, and the team that should have been a number two or number three seed may find themselves at the eighth seed, and I guarantee you they don't really care because they get a chance to get in the playoffs, and all they want is a chance to get in because they know once they get in, they can do some damage. And I said this to – I believe I said this to Andy, it may have been to you, I can't remember, but I said I would not be surprised if the Portland Trail Blazers were in the finals. I would not.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. And if you, yeah.
And you should certainly take this team that seriously. Why? Where were they a year ago? Mm-hmm. They didn't get worse last year. Nurkic is healthy. That means they've actually have gotten better. So if a team that finishes and with home court advantage, if a team is in the Western Conference Final, if a team has a dude like Dame Lillard leading them, and they're healthy. And they're talented, and they're deep, and they're well coached. This isn't a situation where you look up and the Brooklyn Nets have made it to the finals. And you're wondering what the hell happened there. No, that would be weird. That would be weird. Portland is not weird. It's not even that unexpected if you really look at why they're in the position that they're in. They're a great team that had to get healthy. The pandemic allowed them to get healthy. And now the Lakers have a tough first-round matchup.
The good news is, if you're looking for it, is that the Lakers are the number one seed. The Lakers and the Blazers have played each other three times, and the Lakers have won two of the three games. And the one that they did drop was the first game back after the death of Kobe Bryant. So obviously there was some extenuating circumstances taken on in that game. I mean, I know that you remember as well as I do, LZ. That was just a really strange, odd moment to watch that game, to be in that building, just the heaviness that came along with it. So that was kind of a, for lack of a better word, just a really weird night altogether. The Lakers historically have struggled with Portland. The Lakers are one of those teams, and maybe this is where the Lakers catch a little bit of a break. Going up to Portland has always been a weird thing for the Lakers to do. They've never really found their rhythm up there. Now, maybe in the bubble, that doesn't become as much of a problem. But you look at it right now, Portland is a game and a half back of that eighth seed. And we know that there's going to be that little play-in tournament if they're within a game. You have to expect that they're the team to beat because San Antonio and Phoenix and some of those other teams, I know Phoenix had a nice win last night against the Clippers, but it just seems that grouping of teams at the bottom, that Portland is by far the best team in that group and really the only team in that group that I think would have, I don't want to say the Lakers full attention because it's the playoffs and you better have anybody's full attention, but this is one that's going to have them absolutely ready to go because they know of all these things we're talking about, these guys can come in. And if you grab that first game, or you grab one of the first two games and all of a sudden you're in a five-game series for all intents and purposes, look out because now randomness and weirdness has been involved. The pressure on the Lakers to grab the first couple of those games in that series, it's a real thing. It's a real level of pressure.
It is. It absolutely is. And they know that. They know what Portland is. They're not taking – if Portland comes through, they're not taking that lightly. When I look at these teams, you have to be within four games mm-hmm. of the AC to be invited into the play-in. I mean, you're talking about Memphis is done. You know, they were struggling before. Now they've lost their best score. They're out. It's a wash. You got the Portland Trail Blazers. You got San Antonio, who's going to be well coached, but they just don't have enough talent. Mm-hmm. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge never developed into that dude. And DeMar DeRozan, as talented as he is, he's not the kind of guy who has proven he can carry a squad with the bulk of the responsibility and come through like that. Then you get down to New Orleans Pelicans.
No, that's an easy one. No.
You know, no. And then you ask yourself about the Phoenix Suns. Can that be a thing? They've beaten the Lakers. They've beaten the Clippers. Mm-hmm. They've beaten the Clippers multiple times, actually. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker's a bona fide all-star, you know, one of the best scorers in the league. DeAndre Ayton is a developing, you know, frontline center guy who's now, during the quarantine, got a three-point shot all of a sudden. Can you imagine that? Left the league in March, came back with a three-point shot. That's putting in work.
It is.
That's putting in work, man. But that's essentially was an off-season, right? From March until now, it was an off-season. So he basically spent the off-season becoming a better jump shooter. And so now, all of a sudden, now he's got one more skill set that you're not familiar with that he's now utilizing. That's a decent combo. Not enough to beat a team at the Lakers at all, right, but a decent combo that if they were to get in, you know, you still got to play them. You know, you should still win in four or five games, but they won't all be blowouts.
Look, something weird's going to happen. And I don't know exactly what that weird thing is going to be. But when you see what happened last night, Brooklyn beat Milwaukee. They beat them by 3 points. And it's the biggest upset in as far as point spread goes in NBA history since the early 90s. Okay? The weird stuff is going on. Like you just mentioned, Phoenix beats the Clippers. You've just got these – it's just – there's no better word for it, LZ. It's weird in there. It's fun. I'm thrilled that it's back, and it's exciting to watch NBA basketball again. But there's just a level of what the hell's going on in there that you just can't factor into this. I'm not saying that Milwaukee is going to lose a series to Brooklyn. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the Lakers are going to lose a first-run series. What I am saying is that this idea of we're going to have a Laker-Clipper Western Conference Final, and we're going to have a Milwaukee-Toronto Eastern Conference Final, maybe the Celtics throw them in there. I don't know anymore, man. It just seems like somebody, whether it's the Rockets or the Blazers or who knows who it might be, are going to be hanging around a little bit longer than we would have expected them to had this been a quote-unquote normal season where you get a home court advantage. There's a level of randomness and just weirdness to this that you can't really quantify. And the closer we get to these playoffs, I mean, we're really only a couple of weeks away from starting the NBA playoffs. Something really odd is going to take place.
Something really odd is going to take place. There's no doubt about it. As long as all that oddness happens away from Lakerland. All that oddness happened over there. We want normal right here. We've had enough odd in Los Angeles to last a lifetime. Let odd hit Portland. Let odd hit Brooklyn. Let them be odd. We need some normalcy right now. We need things to work out the way they're supposed to. We need to win this damn championship.
Can you imagine the hysteria that would arise if LeBron got clipped in the first round? the unbelievable shade that would be thrown at LeBron at that point. And look, it would be shocking. There's no question about it. And we'd sit here and we'd dissect it for a very long time. But it would be so blown out of proportion if that was the oddity that took place. LeBron would never, I would say never live it down, but LeBron would get absolutely torched with that for the rest of his career.
He would. And, you know, we would have to do the torching. You know, we can't sit up here and have the pom-poms when everything's going right and then look away when things fall apart and the opportunity. So I'm going to have some words. I'm not going to be, you know, full of hyperbole like some of our counterparts and other stations and whatnot. I'm not going to say he was never that good or anything stupid like that. But this will be up there with what happened to him in Dallas in the finals. Mm-hmm. It will haunt him the rest of his days.
At least that was in the finals, I guess, if we're looking for silver linings in that thing. At least they got to the end of the line. All right, LZ, I hope you're prepared because I don't know if you've ever lost three snake drafts in a row, and that's a possibility. On the morning show on 710 ESPN.
That's right, boys and girls. You know what time
Yay!
It is. It's time for another It's a Snake Draft. And gentlemen, I was inspired by the fact that Cheetos is releasing a flaming hot mac and cheese. That's
barf.
Right. Okay, you can say barf if you want, but you know that's what the kids like now. I'm gonna tell you right now, you go out there and the flaming hot Cheetos are everywhere. I seen a kid eat a whole big bag one time to the dome. It's all by
nacho
himself.
Cheese. Oh.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. People love it. So it got me thinking of it's a snake draft, our favorite like snack machine snacks. You know what I'm saying? Like when you go in there, you hit the i5 or the buy one, you gotta shake it a little bit if it doesn't come through. You know, you ever get stuck like that? Anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes you get two. If somebody leaves it hanging, you can order the next one and get two.
That's right, champ. Sometimes you get two, champ. That's right. But we're going to go with LZ. He's going to lead us off here with his first pick in his snake draft on the snacks. Go ahead, LZ. What's your first pick there?
Oh, man. This is so not my wheelhouse. This is so far. This is like asking Travis to do a snake draft on 2010 hip-hop songs.
Well, you don't know. Don't judge him.
No, I'm not judging him. I'm listening to him. I'm listening to the words out of his own mouth.
Well, right. I sent you a list to choose from last night, so you have plenty of time to do your research. So let's go here as we are. We do have a clock in this business, and we got to hit the brakes.
I'm going to go with those Flamin' Hot Doritos.
Flamin' Hot Doritos. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do those.
Okay, Flamin' Hot Doritos. Okay, what about you, champ? What are you taking here? You got back-to-back picks here.
There's two ways to go here, obviously. And there's salty way and there's the sweet way, right? So you can go the salty snack or the sweet snack. I'm gonna take LZ's lead and start with a salty snack. I'm just going to go with regular Cheetos, just the old-fashioned orange Cheetos, OG Cheetos, right? Not the red ones, the ones that leave your fingers all nice and orange. I'm going to take original Cheetos.
Not the puffs.
So that's not the puffs. The puffs aren't terrible. I'm not going to lie. I'll eat the puffs too, but the original crunchy Cheetos. And then I'm going to go sweet for my second one, and I'm going to take a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup for number two.
Ooh, okay. This is peanut butter. All right. Peanut butter cup. Let's write that down. All right, LZ, is to you now. You got back-to-back picks here, the fourth and fifth pick. You know what it is.
It's a snake draft.
So where are you going here? We're looking for favorite snack machine snacks.
All right, so.
Take credit cards
these
now.
They do.
They do.
LZ doesn't know that, but I'm well aware that you.
I was going to say,
now you don't have to walk around with change. You don't have to have that crisp dollar to slide in there. You can just swipe your Visa and you're off and running.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. Famous Amos chocolate chip. All right. Chocolate chip cookies. And then you still like those chocolate chip cookies? Let's see. And then where are you going with your. Fifth pick, sir.
With my fixed, or my which pick?
Fifth, my, sir. That's a carry to one.
Next one, okay, whatever.
Right. Yeah, just your next one. Baby.
My next one. All right. Okay. Thank you. You confused me with all the numbers. I'm going to try the chili cheese Fritos.
Oh, okay. All right. I can do a couple of those. Yeah. I don't know if you can finish the whole bag, but the rapper gets you, man.
Those
do a
Dr.
good
Pepper,
job,
man.
Well, see, here's the thing. A regular Frito in chili with cheese is maybe one of the greatest things in the
pepper
world.
Belly. Call it pepper belly.
Yeah, there you go, Raj. You know, a pepper belly is fantastic, but Frito pie, like they call it in Texas, that's really, really good. But the chili cheese ones, LZ, I know you're out of your element right now because those are awful.
Dude, look at the champ, your picks.
I'm looking for apples. Y'all got the bananas in this vending machine.
You got to get yourself down to like Sprouts or Whole Foods and see what the vending machines say.
All right. That'll bring us to your third and fourth pick here, Travis. Back to back here because you know what time it is.
It's a snake draft. Yeah.
What are you taking?
I'm going to go with two classics here. Two things that I think have been in every vending machine since the beginning of time. I'm going to take Ruffles potato chips as my third choice. Just OG Ruffles along the way. And then lastly, I'm going to go back sweet. I'm going to have two salty. I'm going to have two sweets. And I'm going to take M&M's as my final pick.
Okay. M&M's. You can get those. I'm sure they still got them in there right now. You can go right now and get it. All right.
Peanut butter, peanut, regular, they're all good.
LZ, the honey buns are still there if you need the honey buns. You guys remember those?
Glazed.
Glazed honey bun, man. It's still there. In the morning, they look so appealing. Halfway through, I was like, oh, Lord, what'd I do?
Those honey buns are glorious when you're a little hungover for about two bites and then you want to kill yourself.
I'll take all of your words for it. I'm going to go with the one thing that I do get out of the vending machine. And like Travis, I'm going to just say, these are my picks.
All right, I mean,
it feels good, doesn't it, LZ? It feels good.
It does. It does. When I'm trying to get something quick to eat and I don't want to eat all the trash that I just picked with my first three draft picks, I usually try and find one of those Nature Valley bars. So I'm going to say the Nature Valley Blunna bars.
In the green?
I like those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the little green wrapper. You know, they're hard as hell. You know, but, you know, they give the illusion that you're eating something healthy, even though it's the sugar content. You know, good and damn well. It's basically a candy bar, but I'm still going to go ahead and do this. So I'm going to say the Nature Valley bar.
You know, a little trick, you can dip those in your tea. That's what I do. Soften it up a little bit. Break it down a little
They're
bit.
They're hard as hell.
You need to bring along your vacuum cleaner with one of those things because you're only going to get about half of it in your mouth. The rest of it will end up on the floor.
Travis, that's why I don't think I've ever actually bought one and brought them into the house. This trick Benny machine food.
Too messy. All right, to wrap it up here, guys, you can go to ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter feed, and Janice will get these up to you. We're looking for your favorite snack machine snack and just run it down. LZ picked up Flamin' Hot Doritos. What did you pick here? Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies, chili cheese Fritos, and just to wrap it up so you can be healthy, the Nature Valley bars. You know, the ones in the green. They come in two of them. That's right. Two bricks. There you go. And then Travis takes the regular Cheetos, the OG, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the Ruffles chips with the Ruffles, not the Lay's, the Ruffles had the engravements in it, and then M&M. So good luck, gentlemen. Good luck.
Yeah, we'll see, LZ. I may have a back-to-back, but you never know. You never know. Your Nature Valley bar may have put you over the top. You do eat healthy. You do take care of yourself. What is your indulgence? We just say blanket. I'm just going to eat something terrible. What do you go to?
Eat? I don't.
You don't?
But drink?
Yeah. No, yeah, drink? I know the answer to that question. I've been with you enough to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. When do I'm literally looking in my cabinet right now. So to the left of me is a basket full of fresh fruit. I got some pink grapefruits. I got some bananas. I got avocados. So I got that. I opened this thing up. I got the wheat squares. I got some almonds. I got some dark chocolate covered almonds, which are sweet, but they're healthy for you. Protein shake. Oh, Chicharitos. Maybe these
are good.
Bad.
Those are good.
Yeah, maybe these are bad for me. Are these bad for me?
It's fried pork skin. It's not good for you.
Oh, chicharrones, not chicharitos. I was thinking the LA Galaxy guy, chicharito.
Oh, yeah.
Chicharrones. Yeah. Pork rinds.
So, yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
We call them skins. We call them skins in Detroit. Yeah, so I'm learning a new language out here.
All right. Dodgers get some very good news last night, and they've got a guy that's going to cause problems for a very, very long time. I'll tell you who it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.